Blog Talk Radio.
New beginnings is not just for the young. Starting all over, amen, anyone can do. We like to thank you for tuning in and being a part of this blog talk radio. Each and every Wednesday at 7 o'clock, we are New Beginnings Ministry. And again, those of you who are tuned in by internet, we are an interactive Bible study. What does that mean? That means that you have an opportunity of calling in and participating and asking questions or just sharing what God has laid on your heart. Amen. So once again, we do thank you for tuning in. We are in New Jersey this evening. We'll be sharing a word from New Jersey this evening. So we're looking forward to what God has placed on this man of God's heart this evening. We're going to have prayer, and then directly after we have prayer, we're going to move on over into Milford, New Jersey. Father, we thank you for this day. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Father, we bow and worship and praise you. Father, we cover ourselves with the blood of Jesus Christ and claim protection over our family, our finances, our home, our spirit, our soul, our body. Father, we surrender ourselves completely to you. We take a stand against any workings of the enemy this evening, Heavenly Father. Anything that's trying to hinder the family from serving you in the name of Jesus. Father, we ask that you bless the sick and afflicted, those that know you and those that do not. Father, there are those who are on our prayer list, Father, that we pray for daily. You know who they are. We ask, Heavenly Father, Lord, that you would just bless them in a mighty way, that they would be an instrument used by you so that others around, Heavenly Father, would realize, Heavenly Father, that you are God that can be anywhere. You are omnipotent. You are omnipotent. We thank you for being that type of God. Father, we love you, and we thank you for loving us most. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen, amen, amen. And now we're going to move over. We'd like to let you know that we are a Bible blog radio, and you can archive anything that has been spoken or anything that has been shared. You can go to our archives. You would type in Blog Talk Radio, and once you type in Blog Talk Radio, then you would go to the archives and type in We Can Begin Again, and you can pull up any of the speakers that we have had within the last 4 or 5 years, 6 years. You can pull up any one of those. And, you know, it's a blessing when you are trying to, or we are trying to, share the word of God. Sometimes they don't hear us, so we can ask them to listen in and listen together. Amen? That becomes a ministry that we can do for the kingdom of God. We're going to let you know that last week we had an opportunity. We were in New York, and we had someone that was in the background that we could hear all the scratching and everything that was going on. These mics are very, very sensitive. We can pick up everything. Even if you are if you're cooking or pouring water, the mics can pick it up, and it becomes a distraction to the listeners. So we're going to go back to what we were doing before. And if you have a comment, you would hit the number 1 on your phone, and we would know that you have a question or you would like to respond. Amen. If we do not hear anything in the background on your line, we're going to leave your line open. We had so many that was on the line last week, and it was just so hard to determine who or where the sound was coming from. So we're going to try that, go back into that. Right now we're going to move over into New Jersey. Pastor Miles, are you there?
Yes, sir. How you doing this evening?
Amen. Bless my brother. Bless my brother. Looking forward to a word from the Lord.
God bless. God bless. Can you hear me clear?
Yes, you're very clear. Extremely clear.
Outstanding. As I said before, I'll say it again. If you can love Blog Talk Radio, I love Blog Talk Radio. Many years I prayed for such an outreach ministry as such, and the Lord has put you and I into fellowship with one another, and as I like to call her, Sister and Reverend Doctor, who's your wife. And I thank both of you once again for having me on. And to all of you who are listening over the land and country and possibly throughout the world, since this is interactive over by way of the internet, I greet you all in the name that's above every name, which is the name of Jesus Christ. I come to you today with part two of something that was started about 2 months ago. If you were to go back, it was, as it was mentioned earlier, onto the archives, it's called Divine Preparation. And today is going to be Divine Preparation Part 2, and I'm going to subtitle this one, Make Ready. And the reason why, because if you go over to the first one, it came out of John, the 14th chapter, about the verses 1 through 4. And we talked about how Jesus had spoken, my Father's house of many mansions. But if you can listen to that one and listen to this one as well, you can put the two together, which I really believe would make for good Bible learning, good Bible teaching, and good Bible understanding for your notes. And also, if you go on to last week's message by my sister out of New York, around the 45th minute of her of broadcast, she touched on the same scripture we're going to touch on today. And if you have your Bible handy, I want you to turn to the Gospel according to Matthew. And once again, if you need a topic, Divine Preparations Part 2, Make Ready. The Gospel according to Matthew chapter 25. And we're going to read verses 1 through 10. As it is my custom from my upbringing in Scripture, we're not going to read Scripture fast just to say that we know how to read and show people we know how to read. But what we're going to do is we're going to take our time, and we're going to let the rawness of God's Word minister to our spirit, man. It's my prayer that you've already had some natural food to feed the natural man. So let us get some of the spiritual food to feed that spirit man. Now, I'm reading from the King James text. Last week, I touched on some of the Amplified. I don't think I'm going to touch on any of that today, but we're going to come with the King James text. Matthew 25, starting at verse 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, if you write in your Bible, please underline that. And at midnight, there was a cry made. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all, please underline that word all if you underline. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go rather to them that sell and buy for yourself. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. I want to reemphasize something that I reemphasized in Divine Preparations Part 1. Preparation is never wasted time. Repeat it again. Preparation is never wasted time. Many years ago, as I said in Part 1, I was traveling to New York by way of train, and I was listening to the radio. I don't know if it was 98.7 KISS at the time or a WBLS, but a popular statement came when it said, if you fail to plan, then you plan to fail.
Mm-hmm.
Proverbs 21:5. Want to give you a touch, a review of what we had before. Proverbs 21:5. The thoughts of the diligent tend to plentiness, but of those of haste, only going to be in want. So if you make preparations, you're going to be fine. But if you don't make preparations, you're not going to be fine, according to Scripture. And one thing about the Bible, you can't refute the Word of God. I don't care what you say, how you say it, what big word you use, how you dress it up, you can't refute the Word of God. You never, I don't care who you are, you never get a second chance for a first impression. That's going to be key as we get to the end of this, towards the end. Also understand that readiness is a commodity that can't be shared. Let me repeat that. Readiness is a commodity that cannot be shared. Every person must do it for him or herself. Well, you may say, preacher, where'd you get that from? Got it from the scripture we just read. You have to do it for yourself. Let's get into the scripture here. But right before we get into that, I want to talk about some readiness and preparedness. I have fellowship with another preacher friend of mine in Maryland, real good friend of mine. And he's a handyman. He's a contractor. The Bible may call him, as they call Joseph and they call Jesus, a carpenter. But if, just a little side piece, if you take that word carpenter and you take it back to the original language of the Greek, it actually means tekton. And that means one who's good with their hands, handyman, a contractor. And me and him was having fellowship one day, and even fellowship today, and he said, or day before yesterday, and he said, yeah, I got this job I must take care. I won't be able to talk to you long. I got to make sure I got my tools together and make sure my truck is together. Then I have to load them up. After I load them up, I have to secure my truck, and I come in and get my clothes for the day and take a look at the weather for that day. After the weather, get up in the morning and take care of my personal hygiene and get my startup food, which is breakfast, pack my lunch, get my drink, and move on. So I'll be ready for whatever happens to come my way. We all have a certain level of readiness that we must do day to day if we work Monday through Friday, whatever we do work. But let's look at the scripture here where it talks about these 10 virgins. Now, many people, many preachers, many pastors, ministers have preached this from an angle of these 10 young ladies were going to get married. But if you take a look into the scripture, you go to verse 10, you see that it says they went into the marriage. So these young ladies were classified today as bridesmaids. These 10 were going to actually send off one of their own. For some of us know, and many of us may know listening on today, that Christ is the bridegroom, and he's married to the church. And if I would have to make a guess of who Jesus' best man is, it would be John the Baptist. So just to give you some type of setting, we're going to look at Jesus coming with his entourage, his best man, John the Baptist, getting ready to go for the feast, or getting ready to go towards the marriage. These 10 virgins all had one assignment. Just one assignment. And their assignment was to go and be ready for when the bridegroom comes. That's all they had to do. One thing. How many times have you given a task to one person to do one thing and they didn't get that right? You gave that person one task and they still didn't get this right. Or the ladies out there, how would you feel You're getting ready to get married. And your bridesmaids did not come through in the clutch for you on your day. I believe many of you would be upset, if not all of you. How would you feel? Now, look at the scripture. Look at verse 2. Before Jesus even speaks about the actions, Jesus talks about their readiness. He said, five were wise and five were foolish, before he even talked about what happened. The foolish ones apparently did not give any thought about the longevity or the how long this possibly might be. Scripture says that they took no oil. They just took what was in there. But then they had five that were wise. Now, these five wise ones, they looked it over. They investigated. They evaluated. They had thoughts about it. Well, wait a minute. What if by chance he's delayed? Huh? Maybe the foolish thought that he was just going to come just on daylight hours. I want to know, what's their school of thought? And as I labored in this word here, I'm like, what were they thinking? Apparently, they weren't. That's what got deposited into my spirit. They weren't thinking. But the other half were thinking about it. So now, if you know anything about the time, it says that at midnight. If you take a look at time today and you average out the time, the sun averagely set all year round, the average time is around 6 p.m. Now, we have some days where it'll go down at 4:30. We have other times where it'll go down at 9 o'clock. It all depends on the season. But if you average it out, the average time is about 6 p.m. So looking at the text and looking at the scripture, we see that it says at midnight the cry was made. Well, what kind of cry is that? Go back to Divine Preparation Part 1. I'm just going to give you a touch on it. What happened in that time frame was, when a man wanted to marry a young lady, he would go to her house, propose, make arrangements, and say, listen, you know not when I'm going to come back to get you. So when I come back to get you, be ready. After he came back to his father's house, then we had to do put the mansion on his daddy's house and went back to go get it. There was a forerunner who said, the bridegroom is coming. The bridegroom is coming. Get ready, get ready, get ready. The bridegroom is coming. Now, at that time when that forerunner went, according to scripture, he came at midnight. 6 hours after the sun has set. So scripture shows right now that they had enough oil, the foolish, for at least 6 hours. Didn't even to think of what happened for the rest of the night. We go and we look at the term at midnight. That's why I asked you to underline that. If you were to actually look into scripture, there's about 12 references to things happening at midnight. Meaning many things are going to happen when you least expect it. According to this scripture, it happened at midnight, 12 hours after the sun had set. But see, your midnight could be 12 high noon. Are you with me? So they gave no thought of any time after midnight. until really, actually, it was too late. At this point right here, I just want to stop and open up the mic before I go any further. Does anyone have anything that they would like to add or to speak upon or expound upon? The mics are open at this time.
I think this is a powerful word you have given, especially the aspect of preparation. And sometimes people wait to the last minute and for meaningful things to occur. And go shopping and do vitamins and all of that stuff. It seems meaningful objective call for meaningful action and planning. But this definitely is one of those situations when Christ comes for us or with coming, he comes in the deep of the night, you have to be prepared. You don't wait till the last minute to get yourself ready. Planning and preparation is key. So I can agree with you on that. It's very, very important. Preparation.
Amen. Is there another? Let us continue.
I'd like to mention 718, please make sure that you mute your mic, please, during this time, because we can hear everything in the background. Thank you.
It was a cry was made. The cry was made at midnight, and then one thing I like about verse 7, it says, then all the virgins arose to trim their lamps. At this stage, this is where that self-examination came in, really, for the foolish ones. When they went to go trim their lamps, at that time, when they went to go take their wick out to take the part that was burnt off to either put a new one in or to trim up the one that they had, at that time, they realized that their oil was going out. Their oil was going out, so they went to the ones who were prepared and said, give us some of yours. They said, not so. If I may use my Holy Ghost imagination, I can probably imagine some of the conversation. No, not so. You knew you had this task just like we knew we had this task. You knew we had to meet this bridegroom, all 10 of us. And our girl said to us, we need to get him and his entourage in this feast so that we all can have a good time. But you thought not enough to do what you needed to do. Now you want us to bail you out. Do you know your lack of planning is not an emergency for us? So now, go to the ones who sell oil and go purchase for yourself. Now, if you look at the, now that's not a scripture. As I said, let me use my Holy Ghost imagination. Now, could you imagine being told that? Now, if you look at it from a Christian standpoint, the foolish virgins really had a reasonable request if you're a Christian. Share with us what you have. But they came back and said, no, you already knew you had this. We all had the same task. All we had to do was one job. But yet, you didn't do it. So, what happened? They left. They left to go get those who would sell oil. I truly believe that this is a parable and not an actual true story, because at that time, where would they find something at that hour of the night for someone to go open up a store for them to purchase oil? It's really a purpose or a meaning that Jesus is trying to get behind us, to be ready when he comes. So now what happens when they finally come back, the ones who were ready went with the bridegroom. See, because a big reason why the five wise did not give to the five foolish, all 10 of them would have eventually failed. Well, how do you say that, preacher? They had enough oil, the five wise, to burn their lamps for another 6 hours of darkness. Remember, the scripture says at midnight the cry was made. Sun sets around 6 p.m., and they had enough oil from 6 p.m. to midnight. The foolish realized they didn't have enough, so they was going out. The wise knew that they had enough to go from midnight to 6 in the morning till the sun come up, so they can keep the festival going. They keep the feast going. So it's better to have that half a light that they could produce than to give them half of their oil and all of the lights go out at the same time and there's still not enough light for the oil. I can't emphasize this enough. Readiness is a commodity that cannot be shared. How many people you know, they always want to ride the back of what you have done. They want to ride your coattail. They want to ride on the back of your dress. They want to ride on your back. And you told them. But you can only carry them but so much before they start to bring you down. And that's something that would have happened with these 10 virgins, especially with the five wives. Because I have a saying myself, I will help you as much as I possibly can. And when it gets to the point to where I can't, I said, can you do me a favor? I says, can you go to Rite Aid, or can you go to Walgreens or Walmart? They said, what? And get me some icy hot or some Bengay? Because my back is heavy from carrying you. My back is hurting from carrying you. These are something that you can do yourself. It's been taught to me many years ago. A man hungry, give him a fish. A man's hungry again, give him another fish. Man comes to you a third time hungry, give him a fishing pole. And let him be ready on his own. People need to understand that you can't do everything for everybody. Now, there's some people who are down, who are out, who need assistance. That's where we come in at. That's where we can help. But for those of you who are listening and you have the good heart and you want to help as much as you can't help to the degree that you have to fall. Look at the wise five and the wise five wise and the wise five foolish virgins. The mics are open. Who desires to share? Well, I take it that since no one has anything to share, that all are listening.
Well, I'm listening. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I liked that you said underline midnight, which made me think, and then you went back and you said the midnight doesn't have to be like in the middle of the night, that it could be at noon or however you said it, said that. And it got me to thinking that the midnight was like the hour when things change, the time that everything changed. So those the virgins that were not on the job and were probably, you know, I picture is a Martha Mary type situation, but instead of being concerned about listening to the Lord, maybe they were like entertaining each other or, you know, getting into the festivities, when the ones that were doing the work and making sure that everything was ready and everything was right, they were concerned about the bride and the bridegroom and about being there and about the wedding, not that it was their celebration, but that they were preparing for the celebration. And so I like that you talked about, that you brought up midnight, but when things came to, when the others realized that they weren't ready, they didn't have it. So that was very thought-provoking. Very thought-provoking.
Yeah, well, think about what it also says in Scripture. It says, weeping endures for a night, but joy comes in the morning.
Amen.
How many times have you been up during daylight hours crying?
Yeah.
The sun is brightly shining. It's the summertime. It's 98 degrees with a heat index of 115, but you're crying. That's your midnight.
That's right.
That's your midnight. That's your nighttime. But now it's Sunday, 2 o'clock in the morning, and the telephone rings, and this job that you applied for, it's and you prayed for, and it's 2 o'clock in the morning, the phone rings, and it says, hello, may I speak to Mr. and Mrs. So-and-so? He said, yes, I'm sorry for calling you such late in the evening or in the morning, but we want to offer you this position. And we had been deliberating all night, and you're the one that came up. Are you able to get here by noontime so we can start the process? That's your joy.
Mm-hmm.
And the sun is down. Now, I don't know if too many jobs are actually going to call that time of the morning, but that's just an example I would like to give.
Right, right.
We all need to understand that one day Christ is coming back, and he's coming back for a church. Prepare yourself for the divine preparation that's about to come, because in part one it actually talks about, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go to prepare a place for you so I can have you unto myself. So right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
I was going to say, we need to be prepared individually and as the body of Christ and corporately as well, our families and our, you know, our church family. We need to be prepared. And preparedness, that means we need to look toward, it says, like, keep your lamps trimmed and burning, that we're supposed to be prepared in as far as holiness and sanctification goes, that
mm-hmm.
we need to live holy lives, keep our lives holy, keep on the straight and narrow, because you don't know when the bridegroom is going to return. You don't know, but if you're living a life of holiness, then you're always prepared.
True,
amen.
You know, there were so many other angles in which the Lord had showed me in the Scripture. For example, the actual lamp represents a person, you and I,
wow.
the lamp. And inside that lamp is a certain amount of oil. And sooner or later, the oil or the word, which is in the lamp, us being the lamp, the word being in us, it'll run out sometimes. We may not be able to quote it. We may not be able to speak it at that time. That oil that's in the lamp represents the word of God. That lamp represents us. We are the lamp. The oil inside of us is the word of God. There are times, even in myself, I can't quote it. There are times when I can't mention it. There's times when I even can't pray because things are so heavy on me. But then I go to my vessel, which has oil in it, which is my Bible. The vessel that they brought with them had more oil in it to replenish the oil that was left out of it. The wick that they used to trim and get the burnt stuff off, the wick can actually represent that you're getting off the bad part. You're actually praying and getting ready and asking God to forgive you of the sins that one has committed.
Mm-hmm.
So that when you put the fresh oil in, there's nothing in there to burn but goodness.
Mm-hmm.
So these are the many angles in which he has really talked to me about the scripture. And I really believe that he brought me the way that I went tonight with divine preparation part two. To connect John 14 with Matthew 25.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone else would like to speak, would like to add? There is no right, there is no wrong. Because, or even if you have a question that's totally off the topic tonight, you may have a question of something that was on Blog Talk weeks ago or days ago. Please feel free. Or if you have something that you need clarity on the Word of God, please, now is the time to ask the question. Because this may be your breakthrough on tonight.
Amen. Amen. All the mics are open. I'd like to comment. You were making a comment about the fish. Give a man a fish and he'll eat for a day. Teach a man to fish and he'll eat for a lifetime. And as we are going through our journey, we become teachers. We become teachers by the example that we live. So, you know, I kind of, when you said that, I kind of associated that with our journey. And when we fall short, people are watching. People are watching. Amen? People are watching. And we lose. People have confidence in terms of our relationship, our desire, our fire for the Lord, and they in turn are watching, and they began to start to burn also on fire simply because of watching those who are steadfast. And when we fall off and when others begin to start to look at those that they look up to, which they should be following Christ, but oftentimes people are watching other people, and they tend to lose whatever it is that they have, or they end up just going the opposite direction so that they can make it. So we become examples as well. We become, like you're looking, you know, we're just speaking about the foolish and the wise. We're always to be wise in decisions that we make because it can damage, it can hurt, it can harm others who are out there. We are supposed to be a blessing to others. So when you said that, that's the first thing I thought about. We are teachers. We are teachers. You know, we are teachers. If you're giving someone something, they're going to eat. Sure, they'll be okay for a minute, but we are teachers to make sure that they can live or they can make it through their journey through their lifetime and not just for a short period of time.
And to piggyback on that, as a teacher, a Christian, we're spreading the gospel, and people are watching us. So anyway, as we give a person a fish, yeah, they're fine right now. But anyway, if you teach them, give them a fishing rod and teach them to fish, they can take care of themselves from that point forward. But anyway, spreading the gospel and living the gospel and knowing the gospel, people are watching that. We may fall short, but anyway, we're less likely to fall short when we actually know the word. And we're spreading the gospel, and we don't even realize we're doing it. People are watching us. So we have to live that. That's become a part of us we have to introspectively examine ourselves and make sure that we are following that, that we know the word and we actually follow it. And then help others, and others help us as well, because we're a teacher and a student, that we are on the right track to where God wants us to be. God has a plan, a very clear plan for each of us. And we have to have that preparation. That preparation is knowing the words, going through the book and actually learning the word, and then the application, putting it into practice.
Amen. Amen. I like the way that was, that, brother, you put that well. I like that was well phrased. You have to do that. And people do watch us. You may not think they're watching you, but they are. Especially if you claiming the name, they're watching to see if you're carrying the nature. And the way to do that is to start with preparation. Now, you may not be able to pray like Brother Smith, just making a name up. Or you may not be able to sing like Sister Tina. Or you may not be able to play the organ like Brother Douglas. But be faithful to what God has called you to do as far as in your level of preparation. All you may be able to do at this time is be a sexton. Well, you may say, what's that? You may be able to just clean the bathroom, clean the toilet, sweep the floor. But in the process of you doing your tasking, make sure you take all proper steps to make sure you are prepared to do it. That's basically all I have been placed on my heart tonight. Make sure that you are prepared for whatever comes your way. Now, if you had made preparations and you examined everything and something has to come your way that you didn't foresee, okay, fine. Take it as a learning experience. And at that time also, give it to the Lord, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit will help you out. He will make preparations to help you out. He's there. But you have to help yourself first. Don't think that you could just lay in the bed and, oh, God, just going to take care of me. No, no, no. Let's prepare ourselves. Let's get up. Let's do something with yourself. I remember one time I was sitting down on my daddy's house in the seat, and I was just sitting there. And he ain't said nothing for a while. He said, boy, get up and do something with yourself. He said, right now you preparing and you preparing the fair because you ain't doing nothing with yourself. Get up. There's times you need to rest, but many times most of us are preparing to fail because we fail to prepare for ourselves or want to wait to the last minute, like these five foolish virgins. They realized they didn't have it when it was too late. You know, and one thing that I believe it was, I believe in the scripture in the book of Acts, when I think it was Agrippa, had said to Paul, you almost persuaded me to be a Christian. And I don't believe that it happened if I remember my scriptures correctly. What would happen if you did not make preparations on today to give your life to Christ? What would happen if you walked out of your residence and you got taken out by a car? What would happen? I'll tell you what would happen. In hell, you will open and lift up your eyes. So it's placed on my heart now, for those of you who are listening who have not accepted Christ as your Savior, I extend this opportunity to you at this very moment. You may be in a church setting right now listening. You may be even in your home. If you really believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And if you really believe that he died on Calvary's cross, he went down in the grave and came out with all power in his hand the third day. You believe in your heart and you confess it with your mouth, you are saved. There is no run three times around the block. There is no do the hokey pokey and turn yourself around. There is no give $500 to this ministry and God gonna say no. Confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. If you want some biblical scripture behind that, and you have your Bible handy, turn to Romans 10, 9 and 10. This is for those of you right now, because this is really placed upon my heart to do this. It was not anywhere in my message. It's burning on the inside of me. Romans 10, 9 and 10. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe with thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation.
Amen.
Will you do that today? You don't have to do it over this open mic. You can keep your phone muted and do it right where you are at. And if you do that right now, the scripture says you are saved. And then I recommend you get into a good Bible-believing church, a Bible-teaching church. Come to Blog Talk Radio until you find something. And even if you do find something, still come to Blog Talk. Because this is here to edify one another. And if you can't, and you want to do something daily, go into the archives, as was stated earlier. Well, at this time right now, I have about 7 minutes and change. Elder Clay, I'm going to put it back into your hands so that you can do, and your sister, Reverend Doctor, whatever you like to do at this time, for closing remarks and possibly prayer if you see what you think.
Amen, amen. We do thank you for that word. We do thank you for that word. I have a couple of numbers. I'm still hearing noise in the background. Please, if you're moving around, we can hear everything. You cannot hear it, but we can. There's a couple of mics that I did I had to mute. There was a couple of mics that I had to mute. 718-385, I had to mute those because I could hear anything in the background. If you have any comments, just hit number one so you can make some closing remarks. 718 or 216-385. If you have any comments, please hit number one so we can acknowledge your comments. Amen. Hit the number one on your phone. Amen, amen. We do thank you again for that word. Amen. Just remember, for those of you who are listening, that the word is our lamp. Amen. The word is our lamp. That is our lamp. That is our oil. And please make sure that you carry the word wherever you go. Please do not go out and try to handle anything on your own because it just will not work. The word says that the word is a lamp to our feet and a light unto our path. Amen. And that's what keeps us on the straight and narrow. And going into the word is what helps us against the defense of anything that's trying to tear down whatever it is that you may be going through. So please keep in mind, don't look for man, but go to the word of God. Amen. Because God is looking for a one-on-one relationship with you and him. That's where that relationship comes in. And once you establish that relationship with God, let me tell you something. You can do anything. I believe by faith that you can do anything. Amen? I believe that you can call down things. You can do whatever it is when you have that relationship with Christ. And that's what this is all about. Building and encouraging each other up. Not coming on to who knows the most, but coming as encouragers, building and encouraging each other up. That's what this is about. Amen. It's not about us. It's about Christ. So, Pastor Miles, we
Amen.
Thank you for that word. That was definitely a word that that I am going to listen to and apply to my life. I pray that those of you who listen receive the word from the Lord, because that's what this is all about. It's not for form. It's not for fashion. We're just lifting up the name of Christ. Amen? So as long as
Amen.
We have the word, listen, we can walk. We can walk. We can run without even being tired. So when you listen, there are so many folks that are getting sick and going through so many challenges in life. I'm saying to you, stay under the word of God. Stay protected under the word of God, because when you got God on your side, who can be against you? Amen. Once again, we do thank you. You can go to the archives and you can listen to sharing this with a family or a friend whenever you choose to. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you.
In a crowded room, cornered by the questions in my mind, it's so hard to understand how a life that I had planned stole my joy and left me far behind. Though all I have is lost, it can look beyond.